Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Welcome back, runners everywhere, to the running commentary.
Question and answer.
Part two. We probably should have decided what this tune was. Q&A today and yesterday.
It's harder than it looks, isn't it?
Do you know, I did used to write TV theme tunes for a job.
Okay, let's do it. Let's have some questions.
All right. What's the best? Let's jump straight in with this great question from Jackie Cope. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given? And here's the great little kicker, running and comedy-wise.
Wow. Ooh. They're quite different things, aren't they?
Are they always? Probably yes. Yeah. It's probably two different answers.
Yeah, I think it's probably two different answers. Comedy wise, the best advice you've ever been given. Whenever people ask me for advice with a comedy career, I always say, "Find a penny, pick it up," which has no actual relevance to.
So you're no help at all. Great, we've really hit the ground running here.
I find it hard to give advice. I think comedy is, in terms of advice I got starting off, is just claim as much responsibility as you can for the gig. Don't blame crowds. Don't blame anyone. Just take it all on. Do you know what I mean?
That's interesting because it's extent. Different to the first one I thought of, but I think there is a real connection between two. Look at this Cormant flying in. Is that very early on, one of my first gigs, someone who I work with in theatre said to me, just take your time when you get there. And she didn't just mean, obviously it was really important that I didn't rush and go slow and everything, but more fundamentally than that, just go to the microphone, meet the audience.
Yes.
And you form a connection, you find the complicity, take complete charge of the room before any of it.
You let go
of everyone's on before you, they've gone now, you and the audience, you let them look at you.
Be in there with them.
Breathe, be in that moment, and then start the gig.
And that was
really early on, and that I still to this day, if I'm writing down what I'm doing that night, I laugh at myself, but I tend to write, come on stage at the beginning of my set list, and I mean it. That's the first thing you do. But the other thing in comedy is I think I've been going a while and was doing all right, getting employed and felt quite good about my work before I had a run of working with Lee Mack a lot.
Right.
And I just noticed that he's such a joke technician, so many good jokes, but nearly all of his jokes featured the element of surprise.
Yes.
You can make an audience laugh so much more if you can surprise them as you tell them a joke.
And it's
slightly different. So it becomes like a bit like being tickled, not just being amused.
Yeah. For me at this stage of my doing gigs, it's also like I try and say to myself, embrace the difference of every gig. It's just like, because when you've been doing it as long as us, you can get a bit complacent or whatever, or bored or whatever, but every gig's different, every venue's different, every room's different, and the extent to which I embrace a difference in that, it tends to be the sense that I have a good gig. So I'm skillful enough and got the options material-wise to make every gig different.
Yeah, and also just embracing all that, those negatives, you know? They always sit outside the gig, don't they? I did a gig the other day, naming no names, where I thought, this isn't going to work, this is going to be awful, and then it was great.
Yes.
The on-stage bit is the good bit.
Yes.
You can always find it, you can always look forward to it. Yeah, if you can't, it's someone else's fault, and you should blame them.
And in terms of running,
running. Let's get to running.
In terms of running,
best piece
advice,
of advice.
I don't really know that one. Running advice. Because I think it's something that you sense to sort of discover, isn't it? Running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of you're constantly relating it to yourself and exploring yourself and sort of giving yourself advice and tips and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm entirely,
almost ridiculously self-taught. Most people
are, aren't they? I mean, they're self-taught, and you know.
I would say, this is just me giving advice, but we've found this, that getting some talking running into your running life will enhance your life and your running. And maybe even your comedy.
Yes, yeah. Sort of, maybe it's a similar thing, embracing the difference in each run and not sort of... But in terms of, I don't know, I don't think... Think in terms of advice, anyone's given me any advice that's particularly. I suppose I used to get specific bits of like racing advice and sort of tactics and stuff, but in terms of just general running advice, if you're in massive pain, stop. Do you know what I mean? It tends to be quite simple and self-explanatory.
Follow,
try and enjoy it, you know, do a bit of stretching if you're a bit stiff, drink when you're thirsty, keep it simple. I suppose one overriding thing would be try and keep it simple. I think it's something that people can tend to project and get unnecessarily neurotic about running. At root, it's a very simple activity.
Well, I think I keep coming back to this, and it's a really good bit of advice, but it wasn't really advice, and it's very far-reaching. I mentioned it, you know, in the first episode, but it's what Ed Gamble said about don't be too strict with yourself, because you can turn anything positive like that into a stick to beat yourself with.
Yes.
And we can all do that, and you just have to be careful.
Yes.
And I would also say that doing yoga with Adrienne taught me whatever use this is to anyone, and it's been a comedy conversation between us, but I mean it, the finish line or any kind of deadline, any kind of point, the minute line, sub 30, sub 25, sub 4, it's... All of these things they're just concepts for you to take or leave as you see fit. And you can trick yourself. You know, this is the thing. You have to be careful. You have to be elastic in your mind as well as in your body. You know, this thing about finish lines, like saying if you want to hold and you think I'm fading, I've got to hold for this last mile, telling yourself you could just be running on, trying to tell yourself that the finish line doesn't exist. You know, so that you don't... Say you're running a 10K and you're running exactly the same pace you do a park run.
But you
don't feel like you've got nothing left when you get to 4.5 kilometres. It's really true. You can play these tricks on yourself.
I had this long running recently.
I did 15 miles when me and you went to Wanstead.
Yeah.
And honestly, just didn't think about it. Trotted out to see you. We did an episode. I ran back.
Yeah.
And then when I ran 20 miles, I got to like 9 miles. And I thought, how much further? I'm tired. And sure, there's probably some technical stuff in that because I did they're quite close together.
Yes.
But... Yeah. It's also just ways of... Just find ways of being good to yourself in the way you think about things. Mm. And you can change it up. You can
The mind, the effects of the mind is incredible, isn't it? The little tricks you can play.
Exactly. The little jumps, as Golio would have it. Yeah. And this is where the comedy meets the running. Is look for the little jumps, the little things that will... Don't get stuck on any rails.
Yes. Yeah. There's always an option in your mind when you're running to reframe it and think about it in a different way.
Great question, Jackie. Thank you.
This kind of ties in Phil Dunning. Can you see yourselves getting back under 20 minutes for parkrun in 2023? I don't know. I can see myself. I mean, I might be able to do it in 2028.
When did you last do a parkrun?
It's been a while. It was sort of last autumn. I got down to about 21:15. Which felt fine, and I enjoyed it, and that wasn't like really trying. I was trying out on the day, but I hadn't been doing any speed training or any training that much. I just lost a bit of weight. 20 minutes it's an undeniable barrier, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Barrier aim thing to you know you're feeling pretty sharp when you can get to 20 minutes for a 5K.
And I think it's like we talk about being artificial and arbitrary and stuff, but I think you can see it in the pack.
A little bit. Yeah, certainly. You definitely know when you're around that, and you sort of know when you're underneath it. because you're running.
Oh, you know when you're underneath it. Yeah. Sorry,
but because you're stiffening up. Because you're running faster and it hurts more and your breath comes a bit shorter. Do you know what I mean? There's a zone that you're in, isn't there? Do you know what I mean?
And that can be very positive, talking about beating yourself up with it. I remember thinking, well, last time I did a really good time. I don't know. Could check the stats on that. But I was doing Hove Park Run and got to like the last bend, and it's a very, you know, brilliantly, what's your phrase? It's not unforgiving. It's better than that. No, confrontational. Nothing negative about it. I just mean it's there's nowhere to hide on that course. And you do that final turn, however far it is back to the start line, 250 metres, probably 500 metres. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I went round that final turn and I started to daydream about lying down.
Right. Yeah.
I thought, well, that's... And the funny thing about it was, is I thought, well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I must have put it all out there. Yeah, you know, rather than thinking, oh no, I feel awful, I'm going to stop. I thought, that, like you say, I must be going quite fast.
That's the
but going right back to the question, it's very interesting for me because I think I have to...
You're getting closer, aren't you?
I got both, you see. I'm getting, generally, if I'm steady with the training, steady with the park runs, I get faster week on week. But I can lose 30 seconds easy just by having a holiday, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And every now and again, I'll go kind of... I suppose in the last year or so, I've done like a 20:30. I think I did a sub 20:20. But there, on the other hand, and it could be that the 20 is artificial. You know, those are really good times for me now. Like if I'm under 21, I know I've done a fit run.
So
I think it's a question of, I think I have to let it go. And if it happens, amazing, we'll have a...
I think with me, sub 20 comes when you start to actually do a bit of speed training at this stage. I'd have to set out with that intention. It's not going to catch me by surprise.
No, and I actually completely agree with that. I was thinking that if I was going for it, and I'm still ultimately training for marathons here, and even if I wanted to talk tasty, if I was trying to get a PB, I would try and get a 10K PB. I think if we sat down and went for it and got you to sort of take me to the track and remind me how many times around I have to go again, then it might be, it's a quest that wouldn't be completely unrealistic, but I don't think I'm going to go on that quest. We'll see.
But it's something to... It's sort of there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's there for you. But it's funny, that thing of like you're saying that imagining running beyond the finishing line, because I think when you're absolutely outstretched, you are running to the finishing
line. You need the finish line. Like a Concorde flying from Paris to New York. It couldn't go any further.
When you're absolutely at your wit's end with it.
Completely. That is a sliding scale that goes from, you know, if you look at it from a 100 metres race to a 100 mile ultra, the finish line just becomes less and less relevant.
That's what kind of defines that.
Yeah, here's a different question. This is from our friend Liam McIntyre.
Yeah. Hello. Morning, Liam.
Apart from your own,
which
is, he knows our egos well, what's your favourite running book? Also extend that to include favourite running-based film.
Yes. Yeah, there's so many. In terms of running films, I'm not... obviously, I mean, like Chariots of Fire when you're a kid and stuff. I mean, there's not many great running films, is there? Is there many great running films?
Films about running? No, I mean, I think there's one...
Is Marathon Man about running?
It isn't really, but that's a great film. And Forrest Gump is really good with the running. I mean, it's really beautiful. I love that aspect of it. And he really is... There's something... The truth of the running is in there. Do you know what I mean? He really goes into that space.
Yes. Yeah.
But for me, the running inspiration is always Jason Bourne. It's literally one of the reasons I run.
So right.
They're not running films, but when he's running on the beach in Goa.
Yes.
That's my model for running.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like...
Murakami.
Yeah, Murakami's nice. He's a sort of guy who made you want to write about running, isn't he?
But the thing about that is, you know, I like him. I really respect his novels. I know they're fantastic and everything, but his running book is my favourite book.
Yeah, I've never read his novels. I've just read a couple.
And Norwegian Wood is supposed to be like the least magical realist one. But it's still, I find him quite dry and challenging. Interesting, but it's like a puzzle, like working on a puzzle.
Whereas
there's that kind of journalistic quality to what we talk about when I talk about running, which is... It's one of the books. It would be on my list of books that I will read once a decade for my life.
In terms of like when I, you know, sort of when I first got into running, some of the biographies I really liked. So there's two by Ron Hill. The first one is I can't remember what it's called, and then the second one's To the Peak and Beyond, and they're very, very expensive now. They're on eBay, it's cost you hundreds
to get
them. Someone
needs to
get
those British ones out, isn't it? Because what's Clive Tuller's dad's name?
Bruce Tullow.
Bruce Tullow.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to read that book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was a Jim Ryan one as well, which was just a wonderful biography. But that's gone for hundreds.
And that's a great running film, Von Ryan's Express. Frank Sinatra on a train.
It's not really a running film.
That's a great running film. But,
actually, though, beginning of Superman the movie when he races the train. That's pretty special.
The Scott Jurek, that's a great... That's
yeah,
a
Scott
great,
Jurek's worth a mention
yeah, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Running in the Pack's a good one. There's so many good running books, but yeah...
And the Scott Jurek one segues it. Some of you are interested in the vegan thing and the dietary stuff.
Yes.
And he gets into that really in a really interesting way. Really, obviously, there's facts, but his relationship between diet and running
is key. He gets into
key.
That... sort of ultra mentality, but without the sort of slightly macho thing of what's the name of the guy, Dean Karnanzas or whatever. What's his name?
Careful, you're going to draw a mustache on yourself.
No, I need to Google it.
You need to put a lid on that pen.
Some people get really macho about running ultras, and some people get really spiritual. And I prefer the kind of spiritual sort of aspect of it, and running generally is a sort of spiritual experience. But yeah, there's a lot out there. Richard Asquith, Running in the Clouds.
Robin Asquith made some great films in the 70s.
There's so much great literature.
But you know, slightly going against the question, probably the two best books you can get are 26.2 Miles to Happiness.
Very, very fun.
By
very
Paul
inspiring.
Tompkins,
very
No
inspiring.
Refunds. Yeah. And Running Tracks by Rob Deering.
Absolutely. Great books out there. And it's funny, writing about running is like sort of, you know, dancing about comedy or whatever. It does. There's something I've got a lot of pleasure from.
There's
reading,
something
from,
to be
from,
found
from
isn't
reading
it?
About.
Yeah,
running,
it's so. A conversation. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I think, like you say, writing a good book about it, is like an investigation, isn't it? And it gets you into that spiritual space that we're trying to find on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Would any of you? That's us.
Right.
Actually, no. Yeah. Would we enter a hard moors race on the North Yorkshire Moors? Races are 5 kilometres to 200 miles and very tough, but so much fun with the best scenery. Also, would we ever do those race the train things, or like in the USA, race the horses? I suppose like man versus horse, or the thing where you run off until the car catches you up.
Would you
ever do anything like that?
I mean, you had a race to the train the other week, didn't you? When you nearly injured yourself.
When you injured yourself.
Isn't most of UK life them a race to the train?
Do you know that
for the train, praying
for the train?
We talk
about being a fitness where you can do, like where running can be neutral and like being, I think Susie Chan was saying the other day, normalise having running in your life and not getting out of breath or walking upstairs. You know, not that that's some people's normality and that's fair enough, but it's nice to be that fit as well. And when I first lost weight, you know, it was the first time I ran for a train with my guitar and everything, you know.
Yes,
so difficult. It's always a big job for me because I carry loads of crap around with me, and I ran for a train and sat down and like was ready to spend like 15 minutes recovering. I didn't have to because I'd lost a quarter of my body weight. That's my next book.
I like the idea of the hard moors race. I mean, we'll have to have a look at that.
Absolutely.
Because we love running on the moors.
The answer sounds interesting.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll give that. We'll have a deep dive.
We should find the other question. There's another question here about this kind of stuff, because for me, it's funny because I really, really enjoyed The Race of Stones. Someone says it. Can you find the question? Someone says, you enjoyed The Race of Stones. Would you do another one? I'd still spend my daydreaming time thinking of running over the hills rather than thinking of running in events over the hills. You know, I mean, I've literally been daydreaming about running in
well,
North
this is
Yorkshire
what
Moors,
you enjoyed your dabble into ultras. Would you ever consider combining your love of the Lake District and an ultra and try the Lakeland 50?
Yeah, that's right. That was the one. Who asked that?
Claire Bahari.
So Claire Bahari and Helen Patricia. This is interesting stuff because I am really keen to run in the Lake District, and I've actually thought about projects to do with that, different routes that I just made up myself. And then I'm very keen to get back to North Yorkshire with you. And maybe I need to stop being so predictably lone wolfish and really investigate these events and do it as events.
Yeah.
I see how I feel about it. I am, of course, running an ultra in the Brecon Beacons, so that will see if I can... I'm using the word a lot now, but if I can normalise trail mountain running for myself without necessarily having to be on a kind of spiritual pilgrimage, then that would be great. But I would definitely be running in these hills, and whether it's in an event or not running is a different question.
I'm running up that hill, no problem. Mark Blazy, are medals a waste? Wonder how many collections go to the landfill every year.
Well, you see, I saw this question on the way and I think it's fascinating. Here's my personal answer to it. I think a medal when you've just won a race is really lovely. The number of times, and my wife's very good.
When you've won a race or run?
Run a race.
All right, okay, when you've run.
When you've won the London Marathon. Now, when you get to the end of the London Marathon, my wife is very good. She'll say, wear your medal. You know, and the London Marathon is a great example of this because it's going on in the city. So, you know, you can travel home and someone somewhere will say to you, oh, well done.
Yes.
And that's such a lovely feeling to have that moment. And I always wear my medal for the rest of the day, like around the house and stuff.
Right.
And it's a lovely, fun thing. And I think that's not nothing. I think that moment of reward is really key. But I also think that just personally, they're not great things to keep. You notice how, like, when people get medals from military campaigns, there's a different version of them you can wear.
Right.
There's no runner's bands, like if you're a major in an army. I find them really awkward. I've got a shoebox full of medals. It's just really heavy and noisy.
Yeah. Some people have them sort of on display, don't they? It's sort of. I think it's an individual thing. I'm not particularly motivated by medals, I must say.
I'm not motivated. I'm not chasing the medal.
But
marks a moment.
But by the same token, it's just like, I think if you attach value to it, I think that's perfectly valid. I mean,
it's just like
I think you. I think you should just have the choice. Do you know what I mean?
And there's
nothing wrong with saying, do you know what I mean? I don't need this or
if
whatever.
If you're judging events, like, what do you think? What do you think of the medal? I would say, of course, I don't care.
Yeah. Totally.
But that's just
totally
a mindset. You know, for someone else, that's your thing.
Yeah, it's a massive symbol of it. Everyone's running for different reasons.
Yeah.
And it's just like you have to honour that. And it's just like.
But I think
it's an achievement to finish a
one
race.
One of my first medals and one of my first.
We got a problem.
Running. Oh,
we've got
a runner. She's going to get called
up. We've got a runner.
They're just going to let her run.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
I can see. Wait a minute. And now the steward. What do you call the person who works in the wetlands?
What?
The wetlander is going to have to run after
her. Jesus. She's running.
If she comes back on a stretcher, we know they've taken her out.
Bitch.
It's got so complicated. Why are you giving her a hard time? She's living
the
dream.
Well, I want to run, and now she's running, and we're
absolutely.
It's because she's lighter than us. She's lighter on her feet. They've let her get away with it.
I can't believe it. I'm not affiliated with him, everyone.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
What the hell was I talking about? The first medal I ever got was the Royal Parks Half Marathon, which is made of wood. That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also, I've got this new theory, and I'm sure it's not brand new and it's been done. But I personally would really go for a sustainable, biodegradable,
yes,
and possibly edible metal.
Yeah, I was going to say edible. Yeah, yeah. This, yes, yeah, absolutely. This, I'm sure metal technology will change.
Yeah. But in it's, fact, but, yeah, if you want, to, if you're running an event either in the Lake District or North York Moors, and you want to have a metal made out of malt loaf, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. This is an interesting one from Patrick Butler.
No, we'll come back to that. Carry on.
Do you remember your very first run? I did 4 miles and thought my lungs were going to come through my chest and have a heart attack. Also remembering being very self-conscious. People will look, judge, etc. And after a while, no one notices. Do you remember your first run?
Do you know, I kind of can and I can't. I think because it was such a long time coming. So, and let me, I'll try and be as brief as possible. But when I was very young, well, like in school, because I didn't ever do it. You know what I mean? I didn't. Right. I was anti. I didn't fit in with sports at school at all. Right. Something I rejected.
Yeah.
But I had this thing where every now and again I'd run and I'd go, oh, I'm not bad at running.
Mm.
Like I'd run as fast as I could in a game of 40-40 or
right, yeah,
bulldog, you know.
Yeah.
Or we'd have to do the 400, the 800 meters in athletics, yes, and I'd be pleasantly surprised at just being able to get round.
Yeah.
But that was just like a little note. I hardly thought of it at all and just got on with my life.
Yeah.
Then I dabbled several times. I went out and ran round and round a couple of times when I was probably in my mid-20s. I went to the park. Mm. Still smoked quite heavily at the time.
Yeah, yeah,
it made me
smoking
feel so ill.
People don't talk about that. There's been no questions about that, how smoking and how it helps running. Hasn't come in at all, has it?
No, weird that. And then, so then I dabbled. And then my brother got me my first proper pair of running shoes. And one new year, I went out and ran a couple of times. Basically, so I dabbled. Disastrous, felt terrible. Because I'm prone to asthma as well, which is ridiculous. But I got very wheezy. And basically, I couldn't do it because I needed to, in the event, when I eventually got into running, I lost lots of weight first before I even did a step.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that's the way around it has to be for you. Quite the opposite. We know people who are on a really healthy running and weight loss journey. And indeed, you don't have to lose weight to run and vice versa. They're separate things.
Yeah.
But I didn't enjoy running till I lost weight. But I had dabbled. I'd done the uncomfortable run.
Mm.
Having said that, when I first started, I didn't wear any running gear. It wasn't as much to do with self-consciousness. It was imposter syndrome.
Mm.
I preferred to run in clothes I already owned.
Right.
Because somehow I felt that would make me look like I didn't think I was a runner.
Interesting.
It's like, whereas if I wore a running outfit, people would think, well, that guy thinks he's a runner, which is ridiculous. I mean, when it comes down to it, A, no one cares.
Yeah,
and
B,
if you go running and you're in your normal clothes, you look like you've done a crime.
Yeah. So it always fascinates me, the outfits people run and some people who just... There's a guy who goes running in Crouch End, and he runs a lot, and he just runs in clothes. He just runs in his normal clothes, like jeans. But he puts trainers on, and he puts a t-shirt on, and he's definitely going for a run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just seems to wear whatever he's wearing at the time. I really want to have a chat with him about it because he runs. He's got quite a nice style, and he's obviously quite fit. And it's just people do. People do it in different ways, don't they?
People do different things. Mm. Yeah, and I think that when it comes down to it, if you're starting out, then if you've got some imposter syndrome or people are so apologetic about running. They always say, you know, like people are going to run with me. They'll always say, oh, I'll be too slow for you.
And
people say, oh, I'm not really a runner, but... And I just, you know, fair enough. I think almost all of us do that. I think the only reason you don't do that is because you did it. You're already running by the time you're a grown up.
Mm.
Blimmin', let it go, guys, because we're all runners. This is our evangelist quest. And I also think it's a story for our times, that the conversation about running is shifting from the idea that a runner is like an athlete who you might read about on the internet, to the fact that a runner is someone who runs.
Yes.
And it might even be someone who runs 2 or 3 times in 5 years.
You're
still a runner.
Although they would be an occasional runner.
Yeah, let's add the word occasion. But I really think this is my quest. This is why I'm always trying to do more running radio, because I think, you know, I still think the conversation is about athletes. And that's a great conversation, but I just think it's a little bit of the Venn diagram.
Mm, mm.
And also, anyway, so that's what I think about that. Yeah. Can't even remember what the question was.
Do you remember your first run? Mine's a little bit different because I just used to run all the time. Constantly when I was a kid and do loads of football, and I was very sporty and cycled to school every day and stuff. I was just a different
thing. Do you remember running when you were super tiny, like when you were like 4 or 5 years old?
A little bit
sense
running
of freedom
on the beach, and yeah, I mean, it was just one of those just constant movement. But I remember the first time I'm going to talk about it in the book. The first time I actually went for a training run was being when I was about 11, and I ran around the Marine Drive in Scarborough, probably about 6 miles, in my Dunlop plimsolls and my shorts and actually in searing heat, just really really loved it. I mean, it's just like, but yeah, you're right. It was different for me because I just used to. I was very, very fit. This imposter syndrome thing. You're right. It's something to get over, isn't it? Whenever I see anyone running in whatever shape, I always give them a nod and a little thing. It's just like. Yeah. Everyone's just on their own quest, aren't they?
Yeah,
These people who you know, let's face it, sometimes you see people and they're obviously they're trying to lose weight or whatever, trying to do something. They're really sweating and struggling. It's absolute heroes.
Absolutely fantastic.
I mean, absolute
that's
heroes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. This year was the first time having been around the London Marathon and not doing it, just seeing other. I think everyone run, you know, from the people who were, you know, like obviously the people who are going to be in the newspapers, to the people who are in the clubs and are going to run that marathon in about 2.5 hours and still just be amateur runners who do it on a weekend and stuff.
Yeah,
all the way to people who are out there doing it in costumes, running it, doing it in 6.5 hours.
Yeah.
So many beautiful journeys and just different and valid.
Yeah, this one's a bit of a slightly seediless, vicious tone. As a massive fan of both Joes, and so cannot possibly choose who has the most chiselled jaw, Rob or Martin yelling from Marathon Talk. It feels like she's considering you both there for some, I don't know what.
Some kind of approach. Well, Martin already answered this online. He said we should have a jaw off. And I'm not self-deprecating here, but yelling wins. Right. I think she needs to look again at the pictures. He's got the quintessential square jaw.
Yes.
And
that's
not quite my look. I've got a slightly pointier chin.
Yes.
I've just got a jawbone. It's still quite pleasant to discover I had at age 35.
She can't possibly choose between you and
yelling and Deering. Well, you have to go back to that
Sophie
rock in Dorset and see who
Sophie
also
eeny, meeny miny moo.
A little word for Paul's chin, because I think it's manly, strong, forward thinking.
Sophie's put a lot of thought into that. She's considering you both.
Okay, well, here's one who's got questions, specific questions for us. This is Wes Ball. Question for me.
Yeah.
What is the perfect French 75 recipe? Well, Paul, it is...
I don't even know what that is.
A French 75, it's a lovely champagne cocktail.
Oh, okay.
It's named after 75mm guns in the First World War.
Okay.
Because they really hit the target.
Right.
And it is a great drink because it's a classic cocktail. It's really nice and easy drinking. It's kind of like a really posh lemonade. And you immediately, don't half get drunk.
Nice.
The ingredients are gin.
Yeah.
Lemon juice. Champagne or Prosecco. Sugar syrup. And in special parts, watch my YouTube video if you want to see how to make one. And my thing that I invented myself is put a strawberry on the side, which really, because it's lovely to have strawberry with the champagne. So I thought, why not have strawberry with the champagne cocktail?
Nice.
And yeah, try and have a fairly high quality fizz. Don't go too cheap on a Prosecco.
Yeah, of course.
And
always, if you can.
Yeah, check my published works but it's a great drink. It really is.
Yes.
I absolutely love it. But it's a summer drink. I haven't had one for months.
Yeah.
But there's a video. There's a YouTube video, Wes. Oh, and two questions for you. One, what's the right price to pay for a Sunday night bottle of red?
Yeah, tricky. I mean, it depends how you're feeling, isn't it? If I had a drink all week, I'd do 20 notes on a bottle.
Wow, and for you, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't do that on a running event.
Absolutely. I know. There's my priorities right there.
So I want free shoes.
Yeah.
And 50 quid worth of wine.
Yeah, so I would
priorities.
Go, yeah, that's if I'm not drinking much, and I'm just going to have one drink that week. I'll go up to 20, maybe even more for a decent bottle.
It's different
French.
Now, isn't it? As well. But I think that wine, you know, if you're not pushing towards a tenner, it's not going to be nice in this country, is it?
Yeah, although there's
it's not the same in other countries. Cheap wine's great.
No, although there's a nice 12.5% for like £8 a pick up.
Oh, you always
expensive.
Know the percentages as well.
Well, yeah.
Hey, you went like this. She's been right round. She's run all the way there. She's running all the way back. She's having a lovely day.
I need a drink.
No more names.
After United's 4-0 drubbing at Brentford.
A rugby tackler. No.
After United's 4-0 drubbing at Brentford at the beginning of the season, what will the score be at Old Trafford? I think United will win that 3-1. Thank you, Wes. That's a quick one. Here's another quick one. Maybe quick one. Angela Bell Smith. Never run a marathon before.
There she goes.
Completely. Anyway. Never run a marathon before. When and how far should my longest run be?
Yes. Well, yeah, I think you need to contextualise this in a training plan because it is okay to do everything. You know, people who run good marathons on. If you feel really fit and you feel good about it, and for some reason, whatever reason, you don't get a 20-mile run, but you think the marathon's going to be okay, it might be okay. I've done a not got my 20-mile run in. Ivo Graham, super fit and tall.
Yeah.
He did it on a ridiculous amount. But your basic rule of thumb is 20, over 20 up to about 22.
Mm.
About a month before, would you say?
Yeah, about a month, maximum 3 weeks before, yeah.
And you said this before. You say the thing about it is it's psychological. It's okay for that to feel like a push. When you do it, you want to think, wow, this is hard.
Yes.
And then associate that with beyond 20. And that will give you an idea of the shape of the task
at hand. You start to get beyond 20, you start to get a little nibble of what it's going to be like, don't you? How it's going to feel. And also on the day, you're probably going to run a bit faster. So it just helps.
Well, I'm going to say two things about that. One, don't think, you know, take the pressure off that one run. By the time you do it, it should feel like you got there. You know what I mean? So you want to be doing a 10, a 13, a 16.
I
thought I might do 20, but I stopped at 18. Then I did
increase
my 20.
It by two
work
every week, your long run.
Work your way up to it.
Yeah.
And then the taper is at least there's a point of 20. So don't think, I've got to run 22 miles the weekend before. Run 20, maybe plus if you're feeling it, but not more than about 22. Three, 4 weeks before, and then wind it back down again.
Yes.
And like Paul says, you're quite likely, certainly in our experience, you're very likely to run a little bit faster on the day. Not in a bad way,
just the crowd.
And the thing is that obviously you can burn a lot of energy by going too fast, but when you run a bit faster, it's great because something you really need to think about in training is your body will respond to, your body doesn't care quite so much how many miles, it's time on your feet.
It's time on your feet, yeah, absolutely. It's time moving. So simply, any room you want to be at least if you can anything between 18 and 22 miles a month before, or maybe even 3 weeks before.
Yeah, and do that 20 if it's your first marathon and you're thinking when you should do it, because you'll feel good about it.
The more runs you can get in that range. I mean, serious runners will get 3 or 4 runs in the 18 to 22, and they'll try and run faster after 18 just to get used to that pushing into the pain cave.
I'm
in the pain cave.
That's training for people who
do training for people.
You know, if you're training for one, you just need that one, and it'll give you a taste of what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, that time on your feet, how to handle it, you know,
how when you get home, you might feel a bit rough, and your family is supposed to look after you and say nice things.
And don't, as Rob says, don't worry if that feels really hard.
It's supposed to.
I've had those runs where I've been really crawling by the end of it, and the race days felt comparatively more easy. You know, running longer. That's
and I
a
think
good
literally,
question,
if you
though.
Do find that you're doing that, you get to that you think, oh, I should be. I know so and so who does. You know, who did 20 miles on consecutive weekends and stuff. Chances are they've just done it loads of times.
Yes.
It's part of a sort of like years long.
Yeah,
fitness.
It's what they do. It's what they do.
Where's that page that we've hardly touched? Don't know. This is it. Just a few of these left. We're getting there, guys. We've nearly answered all the questions. If you haven't answered your question, I can only apologise.
Does Matt Larkin, does Rob think he would run a better marathon if he had a running watch to show him he's going off too fast?
Matt, is this a question?
or an attack?
What else does he say?
And when his Tonks going to appear on Strava?
So I'm not getting a watch. He's not getting on Strava. Live with it.
Never.
Some of the questions, exclusively for men, were quite rude.
Were they really, Matt?
Wind it in.
Yeah. each to his own.
What running advice would you give to your 30-year-old self?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably say, why aren't you running at the moment? Because I wasn't really running at 30.
Yeah. And do you think you regret that, or do you just think it was a natural part of the journey?
It was a natural part of my journey, but to a certain extent, I missed my absolute peak years. I mean, it was sort of just in my life. I was running, I ran occasionally then, but I just wasn't, it was just sort of, Yeah,
but you
I missed
were
my peak as a runner. But I was,
you know what I mean? Your peak as a runner.
I was probably in my peak sort of showbiz years, sort of hosting big shows and all
and
the stress
also,
of those
like, getting
things.
Married and having children.
Getting married
like
and having children. It was just different phases. But I would say maybe you should be doing some running.
Yeah, get under some running. I mean, this
running
is a simple answer.
Running would help
this. Tell you what, go for a run. See, when I was 30, is that round? Yeah, probably when I was 30, I was trying to get into running, but only at the very back of my mind. It was basically a kind of decade-long quest to have a kind of regimen that would take, you know, a New Year's manifesto that I could stay with.
Mm.
And eventually it took. So it's not like I didn't know I wanted to, and it's not like I could. So we could easily say, should have been running, we weren't. But, you know, ifs and buts or nips and nups, I don't know what the phrase is. But I just think I wasn't running. And I think the most interesting thing I could say is, you will not believe it, but 10 years from now, running's going to be like your thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre to think that I run my fastest marathon at the age of 47. I could have obviously, if I'd done the same, put the same effort into running at the age of like 36, I would have run a lot faster. But I wasn't there. It wasn't.
Yeah,
would you
would you just have messed it up? You know, it is a mature athlete's game.
I suppose it is, yes.
And I think also, you know, the other subtext on this whole thing is that we don't much hold with regrets or advice.
No, I don't think
we would give each other.
Regrets.
Give ourselves any advice. Yeah. Give each other advice.
I want to host it at the Sunday show. Would I? I'd have been out running.
Yeah, that's right. Good question though, Kate.
Good question. We all love the show. This is on Chris Gardner.
Yeah, I know Chris from the York Marathon.
Very kind of you, Chris. We all love the show and concept, hence why we come back every week. You've ran, walked, driven together in episodes. Big question we all must be grappling with. Is when will we ever hear drinking commentary? A drinking together special.
Now let's answer this question semi-seriously. I mean, because it could be fun, and there's a lot of this about, isn't there? Like the drunk histories and stuff. Mm. But when it comes down to it, I think you've got to separate it out from the running.
Yeah,
the closest we've got to doing it is we've talked about doing it after the marathon, like going back and having like a champagne hot tub with all our family and friends. Yeah. But then when you've done a marathon,
you'd
want
a bit
actually
part of
want to.
Sophie Singfield,
with
your chiseled jaw.
Yeah,
just give me a time and a place.
What we need is a running Mount Rushmore. With me yelling. Who else could we have? Not you, obviously. You haven't got a jaw for it. And also when we were going to do the marathon to Madoc. But I think if it's ever going to happen, and the thing is that this is unusual what we're doing right now, we would generally talk and run. But we have had, it's a shame we didn't have the recorders on that night in Brussels all those years ago.
Yes. Yeah. It's a...
We'll find a reason.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think we do tend to separate them, and it feels a bit weird to mash them together. I don't know whether I'd enjoy it that much. I associate running with at least being sober for those moments when I'm running and a kind of corrective to
also, we never see each other when we're not running. We don't socialise. We hang with our families.
We see each other when we gig and we drink with our wives.
But let's put this on the back burner. Say running commentary carries on for another, for as long again, because we love it. We love doing it.
Yeah.
And we move on and we find that we're not quite the runners we were or we can't run anymore.
Yeah.
Then we could always shift over into Sunday wine
commentary. Drink. Yeah. Or the last one will be some sort of drink till the end.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the suggestion, Chris. We'll take it under advisement, because the great thing about drinking is, as you get older, is no downside.
Absolutely.
Just no negatives. Downside. It's like the whole smoking running thing.
So this kind of segues into the Helen Easthorpe. In what way has your running recovery changed as you've got older?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I need a bit more time between runs nowadays, really.
Let's separate running and recovery.
Mm. Mm.
You're running. I mean, I think psychologically your running changed. There's someone else who's asking about injury, but you know, the three hour marathon changed your running.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. My running has changed in terms of like, it's something I do. It's something that's more sort of fun and restorative now for me. And we were at different phases, aren't we? You know,
yes.
I don't really. It's not as it's part of my identity, but it's not a part of how I judge myself. Mm-hmm. Although that was something I was always careful about anyway. But when I was going for the sub-3, I definitely tied it in with like myself, and it was important. It was important in a way that it's not now. And I can't deny that. So it's just sort of it's different things at different times, isn't it?
Different strokes it takes. Different strokes and recovery. Yeah. Do you feel it takes
changes.
Longer, or is that just
not really? I think it just depends. If you look after yourself around it, then it's fine. But it's just like, just generally, you get a bit more. You know, you'd say shonky you know, your body just needs a bit more loosening up, doesn't it, than it used to?
Yeah, I would say that recovery in the long game, it's easier now because my body is totally trained up for running, so it's right, expecting it. Maybe it's just I'm used to feeling rough. I'm not saying it's easier, but talking about marathons, the first time I did a marathon, and the second time I did a marathon, I knew it for a week.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
now, if I run a marathon, and don't get me wrong, I'm not being blasé about it. I'll feel terrible short term, but within a day or two, I'm back to normal because normal is medium run down.
Yes. I mean we're in different phases because you're running twice as much as me at the moment. Yeah.
So and I also think that while in summary, you did a really, really fast run that was a huge achievement, and then that the kind of post fear of that was exacerbated by lockdown COVID. And injury.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't know, still haven't found what I'm looking for, but COVID made me run longer and slower and indeed find different things spiritually within that.
Yeah.
And that's actually huge. That was it's quite subtle. Yeah. But if you look at my running life, which starts in 2008, it changed fundamentally in 2020.
Mm.
So that's only 3 years ago. So really I'm at the beginning of a next phase.
Yeah, interesting.
And it also separates out because before then I felt like I was in a comeback from injury, not as fast as I used to be thing. Mm. So I'm kind of a couple of steps away from that now in a mature, and it's interesting being 50 and seeing what's going to happen next.
Yes, yeah. 50.
But then that's easy to say because I'm quite fit. It's nice when you're finding new things. You know, you've got to accept that this can go all kinds of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew Dunning, any suggestions for running-based wedding ideas? Already have mini malt loaves lined up as favours for guests.
The great thing is everyone at your wedding is going to love running and there's no way that could get on their nerves. Yeah, medals, definitely. Lycra. Yeah. I think the best thing you could do is do the congregation, you know, make the whole thing a run.
Yeah.
Have the celebrant running backwards in front of you. And with this medal, with this barcode, ID scan.
Running-based wedding, how interesting.
So we compartmentalise a little bit too much for that. Particularly me, I made sure that my wedding, I was 5 stone and 5 years away from any run I would ever do. I think we're nearly there, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. We've nearly done all the questions. That's not fun. We said we've done that one. Definitely done that one. We've done that one. We should have had a more consistent system with each other about what we're crossing out and stuff. Can you find any over there?
Yeah. Can I piggyback this question? Ask if the idea. This is David Corrigan.
No, this was after that question. This is good. We haven't done these. Okay. We'll do this.
Which of the UK's.
This is our friend Gavin Boyter.
Morning, Gavin. Which of the UK's many thousand trails would you both like to run separately or together and why? Interesting. Well, I like this idea of the hard moors, actually. I like the idea of the North Yorkshire moors. The answer is that there's so many, isn't there? There's so many trails.
We just like
trail running. It's just getting out there, isn't it, and doing them.
Yeah, and funnily enough, even though I'm obviously a little bit kind of about doing ultras and stuff, one of the most inspiring ones I've seen done was when Matt did... what's his surname? Matt Wooden did the Wainwright's Coast to Coast.
Yes, yeah.
Because always Wainwright. Wainwright is probably in the long game. Wainwright kind of takes it out of that sense of something that I relate to, that relates to my history and my dad,
and
then comes back into my contemporary life. So I definitely want to do more running in the lakes, and I'd love to run the Coast to Coast, which is, 180 miles?
Wow. Yeah.
So maybe I'll do that one of these days. Yeah. But that would be my go-to, would be anything Wainwrighty, really.
Yeah. I used to do the Wainwright walks and stuff. That's interesting. David Corrigan says, can I piggyback this question and ask if the idea of a self-supported running adventure appeals to either of you?
And the answer is no. No, it doesn't.
Don't quite know what that means.
It means carrying your tent, and it's never going to happen.
No.
Remember,
no.
That's one thing.
That's one of the reasons why I don't like the idea of the MDS is carrying all your food with you. I just can't be bothered.
And I'm still so grateful to those threshold people for putting those tents up.
Yes.
Imagine if I'd had to put a tent up.
Come on. I just don't associate running with carrying stuff.
No. I think our idea
some
of what...
people do, though, and that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and the adventure element.
Yeah, and I like it. You've got to make it work for yourself. And and total respect. Not being mean about this at all. This is just us. But I think our idea of running is very simple. It's the same earlier on we were talking about someone saying, do you ever want to race a horse or in front of a car or do a zombie run or something? It's the same thing. I'm not interested in a triathlon or a Tough Mudder. I just like the running.
Yeah. Let me tell you about my mother.
And but I think it, people have such different. There are as many runs as there are runners. Because
that's
so
an, I mean, that's just an extension of the runner's journey idea, isn't it? You know, just self, just carry all your stuff with you. I totally get it. That kind of ultra self-reliance, survivalist instinct.
Well, when I'm in Lake District and you see those people camping up on the top, and when I was younger, I used to dream of that. Not just going camping, but of having all the stuff and cooking yourself a meal. That kind of self-sufficiency in my day, Jim, predates running by years. The idea of being on a boat or in a treehouse. You know, when you see those people in a tent hanging halfway up a cliff.
And the
stuff you can read about, like Mallory going up Everest and stuff. The stuff people can achieve.
Yeah.
But just then you get to know yourself and you realise how...
How much you like a bath.
Exactly. There's another question here, which the answer came to me very quickly. Someone says, where are these last questions? There's only a few left here, guys. We can't find them because there were so many and we've been jumping around. Well, it's a lovely question. It was about the perfect run which you could take from anywhere.
What's your fantasy race? This one here?
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. It's Tony Mooney's question. What's your fantasy race? Distance, location of start, middle, finish line can be totally different places. Number of runners, on-course snacks. Okay, so for me, I would love it to be somewhere absolutely beautiful with mountains and by the sea.
Yes.
I'd want the start line to be really near my house and the finish line to be really near my house.
Yes.
And I mean, that's so important to be able to finish and then just be done.
Yeah, yeah.
The things you have to do after
that
the event.
That would be great, yes.
And, and maybe the thing is, I'd like it to be through a city or on some high, completely open country. And I'd like to be able to decide which at different times. It's like, I want to be in the city now.
Yeah. It's funny that, isn't it? Because you could sort of, when you construct your fantasy race, you think of races you've already done, don't you? Mm-hmm. And how great they were, and it feels kind of greedy to want anything else, because you've had some, like say the Scarborough 10K is just an absolute, it's just a great race. That reminds me of my childhood and home and stuff, and just nice number of runners and stuff, and it's just sort of, You fit yourself around the race, don't you?
Exactly.
You just
well,
do.
Well, my fancy, the Race of the Stones, you know, it was a dream.
Yeah, the Race of the Stones was great. Even though I was rubbish at it, I only did a day, I could see what a great event it was and deeply enjoyable just to do half of it.
It was an incredible race. It's like, what's your fancy race? It's like, I did it. You know, the weather was amazing, the scenery was amazing, the personal story was amazing, the way people looked after us was gentle and kind and
fun.
Yes, it was
beautiful, yeah.
The socials in the middle were fun, the food and drink were, the sunset thing.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, address a race that you fancy, train for it properly and commit to it, and it probably will be your perfect race.
Yeah. And
New York. There's another one. I'm sorry, I'm basically remembering questions I probably didn't even copy across. But someone said, what's your best, what's your worst race, and how did you come back from it? The New York Marathon was probably my worst race in recent times, but it wasn't really because I was quite grown up about it. It was sort of like, it didn't touch my soul.
Yeah.
But I was ill and slow and, you know, it wasn't very nice. And it's people and place. I loved being in New York. Immediately interacting with people after the race made it better.
There's always moments. I mean, like I did a cross-country race a few years ago, and it was all and it was one I ummed and ahed about doing, and it's a club race. I decided to do it, and I drove there, and we got there, and it's really quite bad weather, and it was just before the race, it started absolutely pouring with rain, so much so that everyone was like, sheltering under a tree before the race started. It was one of those where they didn't want to start the race because it was so cold and wet and just wait for the rain to clear. And we're all there in our shorts and vests, just freezing. And we all just started laughing because it was just so ridiculous that anything was going to happen. And it was just moments like that are just great, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's just
beautiful.
Like, here we all are. Do you know what I mean? You always find your moments, don't you?
I talked to, I was excited and so surreal that I saw Ellie Kemper from Kimmy Schmidt after New York. But just before that, and in exactly the same journey, I just sat down and I got to the first place you could sit down on the seat, sat on this bench. And this French woman, I think she was French, sat next to me. And we just talked about the run and how we felt. And in that moment, I thought, oh, other people suffered.
Yes.
And it was such a great moment, me and her. And she had someone sort of looking after her. But we we took that moment of going, oh, that was tough, wasn't it?
Yes.
And second, it was all right.
Yeah.
It's
great. The connection with other runners is beautiful.
Oh, and in terms of numbers, you know, that's why one of the things I loved about the Race of Stones. But like the Blooming Park Runner did the other day, is the way it strings out. So you've got your own space, but you're also with everyone, and you've got that shared experience, so you can just tap in
your race with the race within the race that everyone finds their own race. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Running is beautiful.
Tolkienson and Rob Deering.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.